This is June 14th, 1991. The teaching tonight is Distinguishing Phenomena and Pure Being, based on the Chöni Namje, one of the five texts of Maitreya. The teacher is the Venerable Kenpo Soltram Gyamso Rinpoche. The translator is Jim Scott.
Dang chapje thoba da samba da gombe khirap gongne gongdom perwe mulam yang yu.
So Rinpoche would like to extend his greetings to all of those who are gathered here with the wish that everyone's wisdom of and knowledge coming from listening to the teachings, reflecting over them, and meditating on them will grow and expand more and more.
So
It is for the sake of sentient beings, countless in number as space is limitless in extent, that the complete and perfect level of Buddhahood, which transcends the extremes of conditioned existence of samsara and the pacification of nirvana, is to be accomplished. And in order to do so, one must exert oneself in listening, reflecting, and meditating on genuine teachings. So to put this into practice then is to develop the commitment to enlightenment called the bodhicitta, with which Rinpoche asks us to begin. So then among the various levels of teaching which have been presented, what we will be listening to here are from the teachings of the beloved master Maitreya, the master of loving kindness, from among his five great treatises, the treatise called Distinguishing Phenomena and Pure Being.
Then it should have changed number and jeba then they come then they were mepam soul and number jen zebe tebetini lotiki.
And the commentary that we'll be studying in this connection was composed by the learned teacher Mipam Rinpoche.
T Ten chu chenpo chu da chu nyen namba njeban de nyen cheba la. Sen don jor sa yung don yub don tang. Namba yi re tangpo. Sabje jong.
So the outline for the main points in the explanation of this great treatise are four main points in the outline. The first being the meaning of the title, the translator's homage, the meaning of the text as such, and the concluding statement. And then, the first point then, the meaning of the title, and we have it first in Sanskrit, which is Dharma, Dharmata, Bibhanga, Karika.
Te peketa jana, Dharma chu, Dharmata chuni, we baga nabarin jeba, Karika chek lever seba hisavati.
So then, these Sanskrit terms in Tibetan then were as follows. The term dharma in Tibetan is what is called chu, and in English is rendered as phenomena. And in Tibetan, in Sanskrit, the dharmata in Tibetan is chuni, which in English is pure being or the nature of phenomena. Then what in Sanskrit is bibhanga, in Tibetan is nambarjepa, in English distinguishing. Karika is siglevarjepa, which in English is means rendered in stanzas of verse.
Chuchin sipan korwa tan chunin yang ilen de berang yin. Chetabu yinba. Chetabu yinba na manorba tongjin nambaran jibe sen teke dutunbao.
So then, the meaning of each of these terms, if we take each of the terms in the title, then the meaning of dharma here is samsara, or also translated as host phenomena, being that which bears the nature, or that which carries pure being, which are the phenomena of samsara. And dharmata, or pure being, means nirvana, or the state of transcendence of suffering. And distinguishing means unmistakably demonstrating or pointing out the character or nature of samsara and nirvana. So this is the meaning of the title.
Dene tarpatang tarpatang tamchen chenpe kobang dubar sepa la chun korwa tan chunin yangilin deba ni sosor njeba am sosor nesor yang tabar hiba de.
So then, in order to accomplish liberation, or the state of complete omniscience, to be able to distinguish the phenomena of samsara and their nature, which is the pure being of nirvana, to be able to distinguish these is extremely important.
And
the reason for that is that one has to become liberated from the phenomena of samsara, and that liberation from the phenomena of samsara consists precisely in actualizing the pure being or nature of phenomena, which is nirvana.
Tanyeba George Sare. George Sare Gombo Samba La Santa Lohisaus.
So then the second point is the translator's homage, which says, we bow in supplication to the guardian Maitreya.
Drova tamji che gombu ni to chopa tam samba chembo da dembe yentin ji goni sanjo samba ne ka ne sanje che pa da samba che saban chen je trapa chen je trapa am ke da mandorwa cheba che ke to pa sanjo samba chembo tata gade ne yoba yong de ni je pa po Tela lozawa taki. Njorn zebe tomam tambor. Gosom kuba chimbu sansa loki jewan zebe yino.
Duga.
So then this translator's homage is expressed in the following words. It is the translators, those who have presented this translation, start, or in the beginning of their work of translating, they began by bowing in supplication with great devotion with the three gateways of body, speech, and mind. And they were bowing to the composer of the work, the great Bodhisattva, who at the present time resides in the Tushita, or the realm of great joy. And this great being is known under the name of loving kindness, or Maitreya, which is a name he will not lose until reaching complete enlightenment, from which he is hindered by one birth only, and which name he bears because of his quality of great loving kindness, and due to this quality will retain this name throughout the course of his bodhisattva training, and also at the time that he's achieved Buddhahood itself.
Tenju Jurva Amke Jurva Kapso Sansawala Guba Kari Yuresena Jurva La Parche Meba Jorn Tarsimba Guba Yur.
So then if one asks what is the reason for the translators starting their work of translation by bowing, and the reason is that through offering this supplication, then the various obstacles in connected with the work of translation can be removed, such that the work of translation can be perfected.
Ta sa che somba yong tong le yong tong la ten ju somba len ju bu yin la dang zam sa ten ju lu che ran yin ni ye pre.
So then the third point in the outline was the meaning of the work itself, and that is subdivided into two points. The there's a branch introducing the composer of the text, and a branch dealing with the actual body of the treatise composed.
Tela tangbula chiksa cheba chekte hina kanhi yonso pangsa hin yenga hin ngonso mnyidasa tena tedan tini nam yeba.
So then the first of these two is presented in one verse only, as follows. Something there is which knowing surrenders in full, and something else which can only be actualized, because of which this treatise has been composed with the wish to distinguish between these two.
Hina kanji yonso pamar sawa korba ni yin. Tele yin to chorpa nga hing ne, ngon som ni to sawa te. Te kanji na,
So then the commentary on this verse is as follows. Something there is which is samsara itself, which is surrendered in full through knowing. And something else quite different from this, which can only be actualized directly. And what is this? It is nirvana. Therefore, I is commented on, or is explained in the commentary as being the noble Maitreya, compose this treatise, and the commentator then specifies the way in which the treatise was composed, namely with precise knowledge and great compassion. And the reason for the composing it was due to the wish to distinguish clearly, in an unmistaken fashion, between the defining traits or the definition of samsara and nirvana. Because there is nothing else whatsoever to be known by candidates, by gifted beings, and nothing else to be abandoned and adopted than samsara and nirvana. So there is nothing else to be abandoned than samsara, and nothing else to be surrendered except samsara, and nothing else to be adopted than nirvana. So because of this, it's important to be able to distinguish the defining traits of these two.
Ni dor temba jebar heba sempe pi jog de ba somle tangbu la ngo ngo zong tin tini so zor he te da trope tsor tini tik da ta de tak ba tang namba ye yebres.
So then, from among these two, there is, or in connection with these two, there is a brief presentation and an expanded explanation, as well as a concluding statement using an example, and these three points then describe the entire work. So from among the first of these points, namely the brief presentation, there are four subdivisions. The first being the identification of the essence or the makeup. The second being the explanation of the definition of each of these, referring to phenomena and pure being. The third being the way of justifying these, or the rationale explaining them. And fourthly, an examination of these two, phenomena and pure being, in terms of whether they are the same or different.
Thế giới này tạm bỡ ngô 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 rồi mà này. dada tamche ndordo na namba nizu hisa de chudan de yin chuni ji tamche duba nizero de la chujin sinyi ne kowa yin de chuni ji rabda seba teksom je nyangin le ne deba o hisa wa song.
So then under this brief presentation, then the first point was the identification of the makeup of samsara and nirvana. And that is described in the following verse of the root text. A summary of everything in brief should be known to include the following two motifs. Since everything can be summarized fully in terms of phenomena along with their pure being, that which is classified here as phenomena comprises samsara. Phenomena's very being is classified most precisely as nirvana, as this is defined by the vehicles, which are three.
Dirva sunrab ji jeza dada tam je ndor dona namba ni si ki par sati kangya na namba ni bod kangya na chu tan te yin de chuni hi sa wa de ni ni la chu da chuni ni de ni la de ni ji Kizze ne tamche, kizza maluba tamche, duba niyeba, jumsin teyser. Chudan chunin deni lekbar tenla pamna, lekbar hina. Sonrab ji jyozan tada la mamon banjoro. Tela kamder, chudje rabdo sewa ne, se zonwe yorda, nang zemba sem niye duba, duba, zonze niye nāma jīngjīng kōrwa yīndi thārpa tā tham jīng jīng bā ndoi bā nām jīng thūrpa nā tsōr kāngka rāng yīng hībar sāvā tāng pāngvār sāvā yēr chūrpa chū nām dā tsāng tu sēpa sēro chūnyī jī rāb tu sēvā nē tīkpa sōm jīng nyāng yīng lī dēpa yīndi jētār nāma kōrwa ndēlā kāngsā kā dā tāng chū sū chūrpa ngō nī mē pārn thōng wā tōp jī Ne yonsu churpa nyande topa ne ne chola yang takpar kyokpe. Ne nang mantunpa mepe sar yang takpar hipar sawa tang ngondo sawa nanda tsamdo sepa wo.
So then this identification of their makeup is as follows. Since everything, and everything here is commented on as meaning everything expressed in the scriptures, everything intended through the formulations of the scriptures, is summarized in brief in terms of two points. And what are those? They are phenomena, and similarly, pure being, or the nature of phenomena. Because all fields of knowledge, everything which can be known, is summarized precisely under these two. And through gaining certainty, through properly gaining certainty in one's knowledge of these two, one will not be in the dark about any subject matter expressed in the scriptures. In this context, then, what is precisely defined as phenomena is samsara, which takes on the appearance of a dualism of perceived and perceiver. Perceived meaning perceived objects, outer perceived objects, and perceiver meaning the inner perceiving mind. So samsara is that which has the appearance of a duality of something perceived and a perceiver. And there is nothing else whatsoever than phenomena thus defined, which those who desire a liberation and omniscience must know, and whose nature is that of the deluded mode of appearance, the deluded way things appear, which has to be surrendered. And phenomena provide the basis for that which is to be surrendered. What is precisely defined as dharmata, pure being, is nirvana, as this is associated with the three yanas, or vehicles. Because there is nothing other, there is nothing else to be correctly known or directly actualized except nirvana. Because the accomplishment of nirvana is the accomplishment of a complete transformation. And this transformation is accomplished through the power of seeing that in samsara, in the way that it appears, there is no existence of a self associated with individuals, and there is no actual essence existing within phenomena. And because nirvana is correctly founded in the fundamental mode of being, there is no discrepancy or no conflict between the fundamental being of things and the way that they appear for one who has achieved nirvana. And therefore, there is nothing else to be known or directly actualized than nirvana, or pure being. So then, under the second point, which was the explanation of each of these phenomena and pure being separately, there is a definition of phenomena and definition of pure being. And in connection with the first of these, the defining traits of phenomena are described as follows. Here, the traits of phenomena are defined as duality corresponding to formulation, the appearance of which is mistaken interpretation. Since the non-existent appears, it is therefore mistaken. No reference have ever existed either, and being but concept consist in interpretation.
Hima taba tela chuhi jeba korwa teni jin tini ne zungzi nisu nama dang chetar nama tela te dang te dar hinjen meng na zo jingwa bar jeba na jeba nama jin tini te data chur jin tibe remu la tumi mi jang tumi yeba nama dar zungzi nisu nama tene nāvā tār tōnlā mātō pē nā, pē nātrā khē lā sōpā nāvā yendō, yāṅ tāpā māyīmbā rāṅkā kuñṭu tōkpā tsaṅdē. Yōr mī yendō sēmlā nāvā sērō. Jumcī tī sē nā, nīsū nāvā tē nā nāngor yōjāṅ. Tōnlā yāṅ tāpā māyīnō. Tī sē nīsū nāvā tē lā tī nē, nīnāṅ lā tī nē, Nangi yi jin deta, nangi yi jang, nangi nam doke. Deta ndehi wambar jo jeng. Dakba teyang, namba tam che ni tam che du jyoyse tong du chupa mi jeng. Rangi tokpe takba zang yin ba di ser. Chusu jyoba jen yin ba ne. kundu tokpa tsang tu chobao. Dordo na, ni nang tang, ni yin je, chu tam je, kunda tsang le rangu ngô ni, me ye namar tondo.
So then the commentary on that says that in connection with what was just explained, the defining traits of samsara itself, here called phenomena, is as follows. There is an appearance in the form of a dualism of perceived and perceiver. And what appears in this fashion is assumed to be as it appears. And having made that assumption, the appearance is reinforced through the process of formulation using various nomenclature. Just as in a painting, which is well done, there seems to be three-dimensionality, even though there is no actual three-dimensionality existing in the painting. Similarly, there is an appearance of a duality of perceived and perceiver, which in reality does not exist as it appears. Just as the strands of hair which appear to a person who has cataracts, where that which appears is nothing other than his own incorrect interpretation. So what appears is taken to be an actual object existing there, and this interpretation of that appearance is incorrect. There is no object existing there. At the same time, it appears to the mind. Because of that, the dualistic appearance, even though it exists as far as being an appearance is concerned, it's not correct, or is not authentically present. Therefore, then on the basis of this dualistic appearance, the inner mind, the inner mental faculty, or the conceptual mind, engages in a process of formulation, applying various labels, saying, this is a such and such, and that is a such and such, assigning labels. However, the reference, the things to which those terms refer, do not exist either, and have never done so at any time or in any context. They are merely one's own. They are merely an imputation on the part of one's own concept. So the complex manifold of what is referred to as phenomena exists only as a process of interpretation. So to put all of that in brief terms, there is a dualistic appearance which is assumed to be dualistic. And this is what all phenomena consists in, which is a mere imputation, having no existence with an actual essence of his own, while at the same time appearing. So then follows the definition of pure being. Moreover, phenomena's very being is defined as being the suchness beyond differentiation between their being perceiver as well as perceived, a signifier as well as a signified.
Yeyang chunyi jinsenyi ne gongle do de zongwa tang ne zemba nisu nawa tang tela hii ne jöpar sawa da jöpar sebe tanyi ji chepar do sarmeba so so rang rekpar sawa yor te yinyi yinu.
So then the commentary on that says that, moreover, the definition of pure being is the opposite of the above. That is to say, it is the suchness in which there is no differentiation between a perceived on the one hand and a perceiver on the other, constituting a dualistic appearance. And further, there is no differentiation between what is signified on the basis of that assumption and the terms which are used to express that or signify it. And this lack of differentiation on these two levels is referred to as the suchness, which is the object experienced by intimate self-awareness.
Sabje somba te karasana teda trobetsore teda trobetsone meba nansen troba ne kuyne nyumong joyinde yoma lanchin so nan yin yoba nanwa minsero menan dale kanron he
So then the third point under this brief presentation was what was described as the justification or the rationale for, or in what sense can one talk about something which in reality doesn't exist appearing? How can one say that? And the rationale for that is described in the root verse as in the following terms: because what does not exist appears, delusion provides the cause for completely afflicted states, as things like illusory elephants appear. Hence, even what does exist does not appear. If either the lack of existence or the appearance were missing, delusion and being free of delusion, likewise states afflicted in every respect and thorough refinement, would be unjustified.
Kondetan Tejendo kunu nyomomba da number sawa chi sawa teni. Yopar namba kundo, tepar majorte. Tonla meba mayimbar. Niso nawa tar yojin tromna. Tetarin zemba te trubam sinja lodo matela. Truba tele dogba ta mebe. Nyande jang namba kundo mebar njoro. Tonla meba tar nawa yang mina. Suyan zungzin jin truba jindo njor mazipe. Kunyu ye meban jola. Te mebe tele dogba namzang hizawang mebar njorte. Rigong ra meba la jedo meba yino. Dina, Menang song to tsoba. Meba da nawa nika yimba te Menang song to tsoba tisena. Meba la yuban zimban truba la. Kunyon si jen. Meba la meba hiba goni. Mantrova lanje. Lanje tobe nyande jan siba yino.
So then the rationale presented for that which in reality does not exist but nevertheless appears is as follows. That which in terms of the reality of things or the fundamental mode of being does not exist as it seems to do, but nevertheless appears, provides the reason for there being delusion. So precisely because it is what does not exist that appears, there is delusion. Delusion meaning deluded appearances, such as the sorts of things that appear to someone with distorted vision, as someone with cataracts. And this delusion then, these deluded appearances, provide the cause for the occurrence of all forms of afflicted emotional states, having taken what does not exist to exist, then there is a basis or a cause for the emotional disturbances. On the basis of there being a dualistic appearance, the assumption of there being dualism occurs, and on the basis of that, all of the various habits are formed. The habitual tendencies are recorded and laid down. And an example is given explaining how that could be, how it could be possible for it to be something which doesn't even exist, which appears to the mind. The example is, it's like the appearance of elephants, which are the products of an illusionist, which have no other existence, or which have no existence outside of the hypnotic influence of the materials and charms used by the illusionist to conjure up the elephants. So these elephants, which do not exist, the forms of these elephants appear. And similarly, with the case of the appearance of women in dreams, or men, as the case may be. and similarly, for any phenomena whatsoever, it is what does not exist that at the same time appears. And because of that, then what does exist from the very beginning as the fundamental being does not appear. And that which has existed from the beginning is reality. That reality being the freedom from the two types of self. So because of the way this is explained here, there is a justification for the delusion associated with samsara, as well as the liberation associated with nirvana. So what is necessary then for this rationale to be valid is a combination, or these two have to be combined into a paradoxical pair, where what in reality doesn't exist nevertheless appears. If either of these were missing, either the non-existence or the appearance were missing, then there would be no justification for speaking of delusion on the one hand, together with its corresponding afflicted states, nor freedom from delusion on the other, together with its corresponding nirvana, or state of refinement. And there would be no justification for either of these in any sense. If it were the case that it were not something in reality non-existent that appeared, then to perceive the dualistic appearance as representing the appearance of something which really existed would not be a delusion. So there would be no justification for calling that delusion or a mistake, since it would be something existing that appeared. Since it is something which does not exist that appears, there's a justification for calling it delusion. But if that were not so, then the alternative to that delusion in the form of nirvana would also not be valid in any sense. If, on the other hand, that which in reality does not exist were not to appear, then it would not be possible for anyone to become involved in the delusion of perceived and perceiver, since there would be nothing appearing. And if there were no delusion of perceived and perceiver, then also there would be no basis for the afflicted emotional states. And without them, then the whole process through which they are reversed, the refining process or corrective process, would also not exist, just as it's not necessary to, or is not possible, to clip the horns of a rabbit. Therefore, this paradoxical combination of the non-existent appearing is necessary. And as a result, perceiving what does not exist as existing, the delusion of perceiving what does not exist as existing is possible, together with all of the afflicting factors and nirvana, which is attained through a path free of delusion, in the sense of knowing that what does not exist does not exist, is also possible.
Yeba, tsaab sabdi yeba teni jikda tade dagwaare. Teni jikda tade dagwaane, nipo tani jikni dan susu wadam, susu waya mayinti, yeba tani meba ta, kebar yoda meseru hisaba songde.
So then the fourth main point in this outline, the fourth point under the brief explanation, is the examination of phenomena and pure being in terms of their being the same or different. And the root text for that says, these two are not one and the same, nor do they differ. Because between that which exists and that which does not, a distinction exists and also does not exist.
Konde sam, kovada nyande sam, chudan chuni so trakwan de nibo, nibo tane, 我这块你等我说说我也没用的接着呢去年人引进南北大北娘的呢那六十一年也不当呢去进口的去你是那么难呢那么大那六十那六十没把大给切把也不行他你的对你这个没人把他这个没呢继续讲没把杨大班呢去年呢去年的他马肉不长就拉不到下来因他的没被月把去年的没把去年的切把呢对的让他的下来了同他的把这把我我你中间讲没不事他得把马英巴尔日巴尔萨瓦尼顿就罗
So then this matter is treated of in the following terms. So what is called samsara and nirvana or phenomena and pure being? So between these two a difference exists in the sense that one of them exists and the other doesn't. So the one which exists is the one which exists is pure being, which is the which from the beginning has existed as the fundamental ground and which is completely or naturally pure nirvana. And the one which does not exist within the fundamental ground are phenomena the phenomena of samsara, also called the host phenomena, which are the appearances of dualism, or the dualistic appearances. So these do not exist as they appear within the fundamental ground. And because this difference between the two exists, they cannot be said to be the same in conventional terms. On the other hand, a difference between the two does not exist. And in that sense, one must be aware that they also are not different. And three reasons are given for their not being two different or completely discrete things. The first reason being that if the one didn't exist, the other wouldn't either. So without the phenomena, its pure being would not exist. And the second reason is that, strictly speaking, pure being is classified merely from the point of view of the lack of true existence of host phenomena. And other than that, does not exist as something separate. And the third reason is that the distinction between that which exists, namely pure being, and that which does not, host phenomena, is relative and is a distinction merely from the point of view of what is to be rejected and what is to be adopted. But there is not the slightest existence of an actual essence existing as a separate reality for each of them. and therefore they are not different. So then that was the brief explanation of phenomena and pure being. So now we'll recite the text where Rinpoche will sing the Tibetan and we'll sing the English.
Yeah, we will.
Homage to the guardian Maitreya. That's all. That's all. Rinpoche only sang the first. Something there is which knowing surrenders in full, and something else which can only be actualized, because of which this treatise has been composed, with a wish to distinguish the traits defining these. Summary of everything in brief should be known to include the following two motives. Since everything can be summarized fully in terms of phenomena along with their pure being, that which is classified here as phenomena comprises samsara phenomena's very being, is classified most precisely as nirvana, as this is defined by the vehicles which are three.
Menace, denied the mind. je to za jebe kudobau.
Hear the traits of phenomena are defined as duality corresponding to formulation, the appearance of which is mistaken interpretation, since the non-existent appears, it is therefore mistaken. No reference have ever existed either, and being but concept consist in interpretation. Suchness beyond differentiation, between the being perceiver as well as perceived, a signifier as well as a signified. Because one does not exist appears delusion, provides the cause for completely afflicted states, as things like illusory elephants appear. Hence, even what does exist does not appear. If either the lack of existence or the appearance were missing, delusion and being free of delusion, likewise states afflicted in every respect, and thorough refinement would be unjustified.
Bayo Namezero.
Between that which exists and that which does not, a distinction exists and also does not exist.
Tene teren dor ten re trawa yo mara sang ti tuan da ji phe yin pre tene re be chiran su sang tang da ba chu.
So today, Rinpoche has given the brief explanation of these matters, and therefore is not allowing time for questions this evening. But tomorrow we'll start with the expanded explanation of these, and by then you will have had time to reflect over this, and then in hearing the expanded explanation, then Rinpoche will allow for whatever questions may arise. So the whole reason for explaining the difference between phenomena and pure being is in order to be able to discover that that which is empty of the duality of perceived and perceiver. And on this now we will meditate, because in having this pointed out, this clear light and nature which is empty of the duality of perceived and perceiver can be recognized, and one could develop certainty in one's knowledge of it. Then having developed certainty in one's knowledge of this nature, then one will be able to rest naturally in the flow of this clear light or clarity and emptiness inseparable, which is empty of duality and perceived and perceiver.